Good morning. Welcome to Senior Moment. Joanne Rideout, our usual program host, is not here this week. My name is Kathleen Morgane, and I'm welcome to the studio our usual co-host, Michelle Lewis of the Northwest Senior and Disability Services Organization, and Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging. And they have another special guest this morning. Good morning, Doug and Michelle.
Good morning.
Morning.
And would you care to introduce our guest today?
Oh, sure. So this is David Berger, and he is from the Deputy State Long-Term Care Ombudsman Office.
And this morning, our topic, give us a rundown of what we're going to hear this morning.
Well, what we want to talk about today is the entire long-term care ombudsman program. There's a lot of people, I would guess most of the public, unless they've been directly involved, aren't even aware of the program, and it's very vital to a lot of people in our community. Usually when we do the show, we're talking about other things and only get to sort of get a glimpse of this particular program. So we're glad that David's here today and he can explain the program, what it's about, who he serves, how it works, and we'll be asking questions during the process. So,
and when we're talking about long-term care, is this in specific facilities?
For the ombudsman program, it is for facilities. Now, long-term care, when we throw that out generally, it could be in-home care, it could be all kinds of different things. But today, specifically for facilities and long-term care ombudsman.
So, David, would you like to get going and explain kind of the basics of what you do?
Absolutely. And again, thank you for having us today. What a long-term care ombudsman does is visit licensed care facilities, and today we're talking about nursing facilities, assisted living facilities, residential care facilities, and then a smaller care setting, adult foster homes. The ombudsman visits, speaks with residents, and when residents have questions about their care or things they'd like to make different, the ombudsman works with the resident and the provider to make those changes that the resident has requested.
Do you find that there are certain topics that crop up on a regular basis?
Indeed. So we track the feedback that we get from residents, and we create a top 10 list every quarter. Reoccurring on that list are things like concerns about being asked to leave the facility before people feel they are ready, concerns about receiving medications timely and accurately, and also, of course, food concerns are a regular complaint from residents.
I can imagine that was so. Now, when you said about people being asked to leave the facility before they're ready, is that primarily concerned with short-term residents or longer-term care when a method of payment may be running out?
It affects both short- and long-term care residents of licensed care facilities.
And can you explain the difference between those two?
Certainly. So we have two systems for social safety nets that affect seniors. We have the Medicare system, and that is an entitlement program that's open to all people 65 and older, and Medicare pays for a small long-term care benefit after a hospitalization, and perhaps this is most people's introduction to long-term care. So a very typical scenario is we have an elder living independently in their own home. They have some kind of accident, like a fall that might result in a broken bone. They go to a hospital for a very short stay where that injury or illness is treated, and then they are usually discharged to a skilled nursing facility for a period of about 21 days to receive rehabilitative services. And then they're discharged to a lower level of care.
And when do the problems seem to crop up?
So some of the problems crop up for these short-term residents of long-term care when a source of payment disappears. So it may be that the Medicare payment has run its course, and then people are looking at needing to either transition to paying privately for that care, or if they don't have those resources, they may need to make an application to receive the Medicaid long-term care benefit. And again, to distinguish Medicaid from Medicare, while Medicare is an entitlement 65 and older, Medicaid is a smaller program that serves people who meet need-based requirements. So really, they have very low income, very low resources, and they need that social safety net to make sure that they have housing and the care that they need.
And when do you become involved?
We become involved whenever residents ask us for assistance. So again, an ombudsman simply is an advocate, and we are there to take the resident's side. As an ombudsman, we always consider the resident our boss. So as a resident visits licensed care facilities, they'll go and individually speak with residents or with groups of residents. If residents have questions about their care and they're not sure how to obtain the answer, the ombudsman can provide that for them or make the outreach to facility staff to gather the information that residents need.
Okay, could you give an example of a situation, no names, when you were able to offer this kind of assistance?
Certainly. So we've been working with a resident just this week, and this resident lives in a nursing facility. He's in the intermediate care portion, so he's not there just after a hospitalization, but he's there for a longer stay. And the facility is looking at, boy, we don't think this resident is sick enough to be in our nursing facility. You need to move to a lower level of care. Well, this resident happens to be from a rural part of the state, but got moved up to the Portland area. In the nursing facility, there are several professionals that work with residents, and the social services director is the member of the nursing facility team that would assist the resident with transition from the nursing facility either back to home or to a lower level of care. Well, in this case, the social services director found found an assisted living in the Portland area. However, that's not what this resident wants. What this resident would like is actually to return to his own home. If he's not able to return to his own home, he'd very much like to receive care in his community of origin and not so far from home. So the ombudsman's involvement has become to help that resident have a voice. I think one of the things that's tricky for people to understand is so many competent, smart people enter long-term care, and then all of a sudden they start encountering problems. They encounter problems because there's always this inherent power differential between institutions that provide care and the individuals who receive that care. The institution has concerns about efficiency and getting their job done, and the individual is simply interested in living their life on their terms and making sure that they can express all of their rights and personal preferences. And that's everything from maintaining your rights to participate as a citizen by doing things like voting that might be difficult if you're not driving yourself, all the way to very personal things like what time of day would you like to take your shower or what would you like for dinner this evening? Mm-hmm.
Okay, it sounds like you liaise with a variety of agencies as well as the residents themselves. And at this point, I would ask Michelle and Doug to step in and explain some of that sort of alphabet soup that becomes involved in this kind of situation.
Yeah, I think most often when I have worked with people who are working with ombudsmen or even suggesting that maybe they get a hold of the ombudsman office, it's because something's gone. They're not comfortable. Something's going on at the facility that they're at, and they're not comfortable with either the care they're getting or the situation that they're in. They want to have things done a little differently for them, but they're afraid to say anything. That maybe their family is uncomfortable talking to the staff because of that power differential that you talked about, that perhaps they're afraid that there'd be retaliation or they wouldn't get the kind of care that they would deserve if they were complaining. And so it's nice to be able to say, this is the ombudsman office and they are your voice, and there won't be any retaliation if they're involved because that's law. And so they're going to be in there to talk to you about your needs and help you express those needs and work out those needs. And so I think that's a great comfort, but quite often people just don't even know that it's there. So
exactly.
getting the word out, I think maybe you've experienced the same thing in
exactly,
years.
Exactly. And one of the processes that happens with us is, since we do in-home care case management with a client, if they, the example that you had, David, they break a hip or something like that, they have to go into rehab, maybe they have to go to a nursing facility, something like that, we help that transition into that place. And during that transition, a lot of times, especially initially once they're in a facility, they'll still call their case manager or someone that they've worked with in the past saying, you know, I have this issue. And that's when we, our offices, can make the connection to the long-term care ombudsman office. I think it's really important to recognize that, especially people without family, they've seen all the 2020 reports, they've seen all the things on TV, and they think, great, I'm going to be warehoused in some place where I'm just going to be told what to do. I have no choice. I'm going to be very alone. And if I complain, the people that are giving me care are going to come back at me. So it feels like you have no voice. It feels like you're alone. You're vulnerable. And that's really the key for the long-term care ombudsman program. One of the things that people need to understand is most of us are what's called mandated reporters. If we see something that looks like it might be going south, we are required by law to report that to Adult Protective Services or whomever, law enforcement even maybe. So, but the long-term care ombudsman, they are not mandated reporters. So the person has, the client has some sort of a safety net that I can talk to David and he doesn't have to report the facility to the authorities, which will come back on me. So it frees them up to be able to talk, and I'm sure, and I'll let you talk about this, David, but I'm sure there's been scenarios where they present the problems and at the end of it they feel like they voiced their concerns, but let's not do anything right now kind of thing. Could you maybe kind of talk about that a bit?
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up abuse. One of the interesting things that is going on with the Oregon program right now is that traditionally we have been mandated reporters. However, this year, the Administration on Aging and the Administration on Community Living, these are the parts of the federal Department of Health and Human Services that manage aging services, have finally promulgated administrative rules for long-term care ombudsmans across the country, and that includes this clarification that ombudsmen may not be mandatory reporters. And actually, that's very consistent with the program's larger goal, which is keeping residents in charge of their own situation. Yeah. And that's exactly like you explained, Doug.
So I'm assuming that mandated reporting, the requirement came into being to address some of the problems that are encountered, and now it sounds like people are backing away from that requirement. Does that give you more flexibility, and how does that work?
So I think actually mandated reporting, at least in Oregon, is expanding. Recently, the legislature has expanded the types of professionals that must be mandated reporters to include attorneys, occupational therapists, and other licensed professionals. However, because the larger value of the long-term care ombudsman program is to help residents have a voice and empower residents to direct their own care, that freedom from having to be a mandatory reporter and instead take your lead from the resident really is going to be an improvement to the program. Having said that, one of the things an effective long-term care ombudsman can do is help the resident feel safe, help the resident understand the reporting process, and provide those reassurances that perhaps reporting might not only make their situation better, but might actually avoid hardship for other residents in the future.
Okay, and this time I'd like to take a break and remind you all that you are listening to KMUN 91.9 Astoria, KTCB 89.5 Tillamook. You're listening to Senior Moment. Joanne Rideout, our usual program host, is unavailable to get today. My name is Kathleen Morgane, and I'm here in the studio with Michelle Lewis of the Northwest Senior and Disability Services Organization, Doug Schaefer from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging in Washington, and David Berger, the Deputy Oregon State Long-Term Care Ombudsman. David, how did you get into this line of work?
I came to this line of work after being involved in long-term care systems for over 20 years. I started out as a caregiver in group homes for children that had intellectual and developmental disabilities. I really enjoyed being a caregiver and moved on to get my certified nurse's aide license. I worked in nursing facilities for 7 years as a CNA, and then I did some different jobs. I was an activities director. I was a physical therapy aide. Finally, I went to law school up in the Portland area, and upon graduation, I had emphasized social justice issues and elder law and moved into assisted living administration and development. From there, a friend of a friend told me that the ombudsman had an opening for one of the new deputy positions, and I was very excited, hopped at the opportunity, and had the honor of being appointed as a deputy long-term care ombudsman.
So you've been in this industry for a long time. What kind of changes have you observed over the past couple of decades?
Over the past couple of decades, I've seen really dramatic increases in the quality of care, and also both the community at large and facility providers' sensitivity to the values of allowing people to actually direct their care. I think in the older model of care that was very medically oriented, what we had were medical experts and doctors saying to their patients or to their residents, hey, this is in your best interest. This is what you must do to become healthy. And we know in this room, and certainly our listeners know, that our doctors make lots of great suggestions to prolong our lives. And sometimes we take those fine suggestions and other times we don't. The risk for people that have moved into licensed care facilities is that residents who move into licensed care facilities retain all of the rights that you and I have, and they have some special protections, especially around being asked to leave that facility before they're ready to move out. However, even though those rights all remain and none of them have technically been taken away, when you are a person receiving care in a system of experts with everybody so focused on risk mitigation and doing what's in your best interest, a lot of times it's hard to make those choices that we take for for example, like having that second cup of coffee, or if you're a person that smokes cigarettes, being able to continue to do that. You know, sometimes the doctor might tell residents that, hey, you need to sit with your legs up 6 or 7 hours a day. The resident might do that and it might be good for them, but they might not want to. And if they don't want to, residents have the same rights to make decisions, good and bad, that the rest of us do. And the ombudsman's there really to protect that process.
Okay, we can't always be protected from ourselves, right?
That's right. Choice is huge.
Yeah. And what's really interesting, though, is they're volunteers. You're trained volunteers to go out, and you're in need of volunteers a lot, right?
Yeah, Michelle, thanks for mentioning that. So the Office of the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, we have a state long-term care ombudsman, and then there are 7 deputies, and we are staff members. I'm one of the deputies, and I manage a geographic region of the state. As a deputy, my biggest job is to support my great team of citizen volunteers. Here in Clatsop County, we have 3 volunteers, and certainly we need more. I'm not sure where our reach is, but we're in desperate need of volunteers down in Tillamook as well. We have no volunteers down in that area. You can make a huge difference in your community by serving as a volunteer long-term care ombudsman. We offer trainings regularly. We provide great support. You'll always have access to your deputy. And as a volunteer certified ombudsman, what you're able to do is become a window on what is normally a very closed environment. Sometimes ombudsmen get very excited about solving big issues for residents, and certainly there might be a resident that has been asked to leave before they were ready, and we can fix that for a resident. Residents might not be getting the right medications. We can fix that for the resident. But one of those softer things that happens when an ombudsman is involved is we tell providers and we tell the community that these elders, these people who are receiving care, are important, and there are people watching out for them, and that constant watchfulness of the ombudsman and other people that take time to visit long-term care facilities really makes a huge difference that we might not be able to measure, but it keeps people doing the right things all of the time.
When you say the need for volunteers is great, if you're thinking of becoming such a volunteer, what kind of a time commitment are you looking at, one, for the training, and then two, to fulfill your duties?
This is a very special volunteer commitment, and it does require a little bit of an investment of time. Before people come into service, we actually offer 5 full days of training where we help people understand how to become an effective advocate. We verse them in resident rights. We give them an overview of the long-term care system so they have a little bit of a basis. But one of the great things about using a citizen volunteer model is our volunteers aren't experts. They are consumers, just like the residents that we're serving. They have the same questions and the same curiosity, and really that is to the resident's advantage. If I don't understand it as a volunteer, I can be very sure that my resident doesn't understand that contract or that policy as well. And so we pursue those questions really in close alignment with the perspective of the resident.
So if the volunteer does have questions, then you would be one of the people they approach for those answers?
Absolutely. And again, those volunteers, after the initial training of 5 days, we have a mentoring program. We provide monthly team support meetings. And there's also always a deputy available to answer those questions.
Doug, do you find that the pattern that David has been describing is pretty much the same on the Washington side?
Oh, absolutely. And volunteers are critical. One of the other things, the other dynamic that really works for volunteers is usually they're from the community. So they're kind of familiar with what's going on. They might even be familiar with the facility staff or the administration, familiar with the clients, excuse me, that they're talking to. And so, and that also makes the resident feel more comfortable. Oh, I know you, or I've seen you at the store or whatever. So that sort of closer touch is really strong, and volunteers are desperately needed on our side of the river too. Right now, the long-term care ombudsman program out of Aberdeen is actually covering Pacific County. So they're really looking for volunteers, particularly in South Pacific County. And it's an ongoing struggle because, like David said, it's a real commitment. I mean, the training isn't like, okay, watch this webinar for 2 hours. There's some real training in there. And but the people that have moved into that to do that find it really rewarding. There's a lot of people that we've had in the past as volunteers that are retired social workers, retired teachers, retired professionals. Some have just been volunteers in the community for different organizations, or maybe they've been caregivers in the home. So they're part of the community already, and they really want those people to have a voice. it's really difficult for, as we've all talked about, if I go into a facility and I'm especially out of the area, you know, out of my own community, I'm feeling like, okay, I just need to kind of keep my head down and fly under the radar until I can get out of here because I don't want to mess with the people that are providing my care. So there's a lot of that dynamic. But if you have someone local, a volunteer who's been trained, then that makes it a little easier too. You know, instead of talking to the ombudsman program, I'm talking to David. You know, I'm talking to this local person. And that relationship can be built in that manner too. So one question that I would have for David is, in your experience, how has the relationship between the facility administration itself and the long-term care ombudsman? Could you kind of roll through some examples of how that's worked out?
Sure. So really, the long-term care ombudsman views facility providers as partners in providing good care. We know that we all have the same ultimate goal, and that is to assist residents in having the highest quality of life possible, along with getting the best quality care in a way that is agreeable to and directed by the resident. So those relationships with facility providers, one of the things that we do at the beginning of a volunteer engagement is we explain to that administrator or that provider that the ombudsman program is most effective when, as you were describing, Doug, the ombudsman becomes part of the fabric of the community. Ombudsmen can be most effective when they have strong relationships with residents and a cordial working relationship with facility staff. We want those facility staff to understand, to know that we understand they have a difficult job, and we also want them to understand that we're always on the resident's side. Residents need a voice, and again, there's lots of people who care. There are case managers and nurses and administrators and other people that work in the facility that are looking out for the best interests of the resident, and that's an important thing to watch out for. The ombudsman is really there to guard against paternalism and to make sure that people can direct their care, make their own choices, and receive care in a style that's agreeable to them by a caregiver that has the right gender, by people that have the correct cultural competencies, and people that have the correct training to respond to the different challenges people might be experiencing.
Mm-hmm. So, David, could you give us some examples of situations that maybe some of your ombudsmen have worked with?
Certainly I can. Some recent examples of residents that we've been working with. We had a resident at a care facility who needed to receive pain medication every 2 hours, and they were concerned that the interval for receiving that pain medication was going on too long. The ombudsman provided several visits, spoke with other residents, and did a lot of observing, reviewed the documentation, and actually determined that there was a space for the facility to be more responsive to that resident's pain management needs. And so they were able to work with the facility to develop a better plan to make sure that resident's pain was appropriately addressed. Another situation that we've been working on is at a large facility, and we had several residents that were displeased with the quality of the food. Upon investigation, we were able to find that indeed that concern about quality of food was widespread, and there were a couple things that were driving that. In Oregon, facilities are required to provide an opportunity for residents to have meaningful input into the development of the menu. Also, fresh and seasonal fruits and vegetables need to be incorporated into that menu. And it appeared those two things weren't happening. With ombudsman involvement, we were able to support the facility having regular conversations with residents about food. Also, we were able to assist the administrator. The administrator was getting menus from their corporate management that were the same for every facility. And we know that not every community eats the same food, mm-hmm. and that residents really want a chance to request that favorite dish or provide a family recipe. And again, with the ombudsman's involvement, monitoring the situation, encouraging the facility to explore more ways to be responsive to residents' concerns, we've been able to make that situation a little bit better. Food is such an interesting thing. When you're cooking for a wide audience, you're never going to please all of the people all of the time, but the ombudsman is concerned about residents having choice and residents having meaningful input into how those menus are created.
One other question is,
yes.
If I was in a facility, would I expect to see an ombudsman to come around and meet me, or am I going to have to ask for one?
Well, that depends on how many volunteers we have serving in that area. Here's what I can tell you about accessing the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Program. In Oregon, every licensed care facility is required to prominently post a Long-Term Care Ombudsman poster. And on that poster, you will either have the home telephone number of a local ombudsman volunteer, or you'll have the number that goes directly to our helpline at the state office. That number is 800-522-2602. you can speak with a deputy on duty. They can triage your call and get you in touch with a volunteer ombudsman that can help. Now, there are lots of long-term care facilities where we don't have enough ombudsmen at this point to assign a regular volunteer. In that case, either the deputy or a volunteer would go out on a backup basis to assist that resident in resolving the concern that they had.
So in most cases, it's going to be a situation, because we don't have enough volunteers, that you're going to have to ask for an ombudsman
or make a phone call. Mm-hmm. The other thing I'd like consumers to know about the ombudsman program is that we can be engaged at the front end of that relationship with the long-term care facility. Long-term care facilities go through periodic reviews to determine whether or not they are in substantial compliance with their regulatory rules and whether or not they are meeting the minimum standards for care. Those reports can be technical, confusing, and sometimes difficult to obtain, although in Oregon, all facilities are required to keep that, what we call the survey report, out in the lobby, on a table, prominently displayed, where consumers and residents can access that without having to ask any staff member for that report. However, when someone is shopping, we encourage people to visit our website. We've got some great consumer tips for choosing a facility. And also, people are generally looking in the area around their home, and they may have three or four facilities that they're looking at. If consumers call our 800 number, we're able to review those facility reports with them, help them make sense, and guide that decision making a little bit.
I can actually tell you, even though, you know, I'm in the industry here in Oregon, I had a relative that was in a nursing home in Washington. And when I went to find the survey report, it wasn't available to me. And they told me it wasn't available to me. And it was only because, you know, my experience told me that you have to give me that. So I called the ombudsman in Washington, and they said, I'll have one out to you immediately. And they sent one immediately, and they helped me understand what was going on at that facility that led to that kind of situation. So it is a wonderful resource to have, and you can use it anywhere.
That's a fantastic story. And for the listeners, every U.S. state and territory has an ombudsman program.
For the Washington side, let me quickly give the contact number for the long-term care ombudsman for Grays Harbor and Pacific County. And that's 800-828-4883. And the long-term care ombudsman for that region is Judy Daw, D-A-W-E.
We have just a couple of minutes left, so I'd like to ask if there's anything that you would like to add, David, that we haven't covered so far.
Sure. I'd like people to know that we have another great opportunity to train as a certified ombudsman coming up in November. The exact dates are on our website. If you live in this area, we're happy to bring you up to Portland to attend that training. We're getting ready to teach another course out here on the North Coast sometime in the first quarter of next year. All you need to do to become a volunteer and get that process started is call our office. We host monthly webinars to explain the program to people and help them explore whether or not this is a right fit. But again, if you're somebody that maybe had a loved one in long-term care and would like to make a difference, if you're someone like me who realizes I'm just one accident or maybe a few years away from perhaps needing these services myself, and I really want to make sure that there is a good system in place to do that. And yeah, if you'd like to be a window on what is normally a closed environment and make sure that somebody is watching out for our most vulnerable citizens, being a citizen ombudsman is a great way to achieve those things.
Thank you, David. Now, you referred to your website. Could you tell our audience the address for that?
Our website is www.oregon.gov/LTCO.
Okay, we will have that up on our website at coastradio.org, and this show will also be available as a podcast there. Anything more that you would like to add, Michelle and Doug?
Maybe just some contact information for our agency. So you can contact Northwest Senior and Disability Services at 503-861-4200. And our website is www.nwsds.org.
And for our for Pacific County, our Raymond office in North County is 942-2177. Our Long Beach office in South County is 642-3634. And our O3A website is www.o3a.org.
Thank you very much, David Berger, Michelle Lewis, and Doug Schaefer.
Thank you.
Thank you.